Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a beautiful ocean. Welcome to Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. My name is Evan Dorian, and I'm your host, joined by co-host Craig Cook. And it's time to elevate the mind, body, and spirit. My Empowered World is here to inspire and transform the human experience, and we help you achieve this by providing empowering experiences through content, products, tools, and services that elevate the mind, body, and spirit, resulting in a world that becomes a better place for everyone. So be sure to check out our website at MyEmpoweredWorld.com and sign up for our free daily empowerment emails. And also follow us on our social network channels. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And once you get following us there, you'll be connected into our ecosystem, and you'll be getting empowering content daily to help you empower your world. We've also got an exciting announcement, and we announced it a few times now, but We're now you're able to purchase My Empowered World hats and T-shirts on our website, and this is geared to wear while you're elevating your mind, body, and spirit. Whether you're doing yoga, going for a run, or just working out at the gym, or maybe just hanging out at the house, either way, go ahead and check out MyEmpoweredWorld.com/shop. You can see some of our gear. And if if you're listening live, please feel free to go ahead and any questions, go ahead and post them on our Facebook wall, and we'll try to get those questions answered at the end of the show if we have time. Show goes very quick. It's a 30-minute show. So let's get into it here. Craig, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good, Evan. Thanks. And I'm really excited about some recent developments, how all the new contributors that we're getting on board. Our guest tonight is a new contributor to My Empowered World, and I know we have several more that are getting ready to sign up here. So, great stuff.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great, movement here in the last few weeks, and a lot of great new contributors, and it's exciting to see some of the content that's been coming through. So, a lot of exciting stuff, helping a lot of people. So,
that's right.
Well, we've got a great guest joining us tonight, and we're happy to bring Nita Lee Marquez to Empowering Radio. And Nita has recently become a My Empowered World contributor, and you can find her articles on her contributor page. Nita has a pro athlete. Let's put a little background on her. She's a pro athlete, a celebrity trainer, a nutritionist, an author, an on-camera personality, a motivational speaker, and an owner of America's Hottest Fit Mom. So she's a Latin beauty, is nationally known as the first Hispanic female fitness champion and health wellness expert. So she's got a great, big background here. And during her 15-year career as a professional fitness athlete, Nita collected an impressive list of awards and achievements. Among them, she won Miss Fitness Arizona twice, and in 1999 and in 2001. And was declared the winner of the 2008 Miss National Fitness Champion by United States National Physique Committee. So there's a lot of great credentials here. Let's see. She's also earned her pro card in the IFBB. It's the International Federation of Bodybuilding and Fitness in 2008 as well. So Nita, how are you tonight?
I am phenomenal. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you've accomplished so much in your life. So I'm really excited to get you on the show, and we've got some questions lined up for you. I know Craig maybe want to start off the show here, Craig.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Thanks again, Nita, for coming on. And why don't we start off by telling us your background and fitness?
My background really it's kind of a road of twists and turns getting into the front door of fitness. I actually grew up with an impoverished lifestyle. My mother became a crack addict, didn't know my father, and I struggled with weight issues my whole life. And because I was really short, I'm under 5 feet, the more weight I gained, the more awkward I looked and obviously felt more awkward. And so I was made fun of. I actually got called low fat because I was short and chubby. And that was one of the stigmas that that really haunted me for a long time. Then when I was also 13, I got to meet my father for the maybe fourth or fifth time. And he kept making fat jokes and fat comments about me while I was with him. And so finally I kind of barked at him and he said, and I told him to stop. And he goes, well, what do you want me to do? I don't want a fat daughter. And that kind of thing. And then my mother making fun of me with her friends and talking about my chunky thighs and my stretch marks. And look, she's already getting cellulite. When I was only 12 years old, this was happening. And so, you know, between those three things, I obviously struggled with my self-esteem. And so for me, when I went into the fitness industry, first child, I have three. My husband was, at the time I was married, and my husband was very encouraging. He was my biggest cheerleader, and I went into the fitness industry as a fitness competitor and just got hooked on my first show. Once I hit that stage, it was like some kind of like a new zen for me. I felt like all that hard work I'd done in the gym and everything that I was following directions on and learning about my body and watching all these changes happen and working so hard, it felt like something that I'd never felt. And I felt accomplished and I felt powerful. And for me, walking into fitness really gave me a sense of empowerment over my whole entire life. It was less about the aesthetics at any given point for me, and still is. I mean, it's nice to be like pretty and, you know, for people to tell you how great you look. That, of course, that feels good. Who doesn't like that? But it's never really been about that for me. It's less about the aesthetics and more about, you know, my soul. I mean, I really feel like it's been the highlight to my life, because as you do anything, you do everything. And for me, fitness is that tool, and it gives me a gauge on how much more powerful I can be in other areas of my life.
So that's awesome. A couple things here. Was it the sense of once you get onto the stage, that was a big motivation driver for you to continue to excel, or was the motivation stemming back to that childhood where you had all the adversity growing up, and, you know, something that you had to, you felt that you just had to overcome? Like, where did your motivation come from to get so far?
I think at that point, it was definitely about muting those voices in my head that told me I wasn't good enough. And it was more about looking at my life as it stood at that point. When I was, you know, first on that stage, like I said, it was so exhilarating. I'd never felt anything like it, because when you hit the stage, I love performing. I'm a natural performer. I've always enjoyed performing, but it was finally, I felt like, wow, if I work really hard at something, I can feel rewarded, and I can feel not only rewarded with that one thing, but it affects everything else in my life, and I feel stronger in every way, and I feel more powerful. And I think that's what motivated me, because I thought, I never want to stop feeling like this. I never want to stop feeling like I have the power to make my life better. And that's what being on that stage did. And it was not at that moment about the performance. It was more about, I worked so hard, and I was doing something that was the culmination of all that work. And it was like, I could have cared less if they gave me a trophy. The fact that I made it to that stage was everything to me, because I just didn't, you know, growing up in my lifestyle and, having a mother who was obviously a sick person at that time, demean me all the time, and then having my father devalue me the way that he did, I was drawn constantly throughout my life to people that put me down, because we draw to what we're familiar with. And
right.
for me, all these people are appreciating my hard work, and I'm appreciating my hard work. And that was, I had never felt anything like that in my entire life. And I was 23 years old the first time I hit that NPC stage. So that was my motivation for continuing.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, I think we should take a quick station ID, and then we'll come back with Anita Marquez here on Empowering Radio.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Visit us at myempoweredworld.com. Become a subscriber and get daily inspirational messages delivered to your inbox.
All right, this is Chris.
And we're back.
Empowering Radio. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got it.
Actually, Evan, why don't we throw it over to you and have you ask Anita some questions? Because I know you're really into health and fitness. You know, you're really out there quite a bit. The waters, and you know, that's why don't you get some time in and ask Anita some great questions here.
Yeah, I've been, fitness has been a big part of my life, and I feel the same way. It's like it really helps you kind of get your mind, body, and spirit in line when you're focused on. Fitness does so more than just makes your body feel good. It makes your mind clear. It makes everything else just kind of, you know, it mutes all the distractions in your life, I feel like. And when you're able to take your fitness to a professional level like you have in a competition state, that's even taking it to places that I've never been able to even take it that far, which is amazing. So, with that being said, I don't know, maybe talk about kind of that experience a little bit more. I think you were just touching on it, just how it made you feel. Maybe you can talk about kind of like the training that went through that to kind of, you know, it's not just the fitness part, but I think eating is a big part of it as well. And maybe you can kind of give us some insights to that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as they say, abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. And dieting is 90% of the battle. And both of those are true facts. In fact, the last trainer that that I worked with in the last 3 years of my professional career as an athlete, because I retired last November, but my last 3 years of working in the industry as an athlete, my trainer actually did not allow us to work our abs because he wanted us to do everything to trim our waistline. He said you might thicken your waistline and get a block to your waist if you're doing your abs with the kind of dieting that we were doing, because it's such an enormous amount of protein throughout the day. And your body goes into this anabolic state where you're gaining more muscle. And he doesn't want you gaining muscle there because, for me, I have a shorter torso, and that's my weak point is my torso, although I have a small waist. My torso is short, so we have to do everything we can to shrink the size. We don't want to add to it. So I ate 8 to 10 meals a day of protein at every meal, and this is throughout the duration of my 17-year stretch as an athlete. 8 to 10 meals a day, I was doing protein as the staple for every meal, and then I had to have a lot of greens because of the enzymes and how it helps your body break down the proteins and assimilate the proteins. Then when you increase your protein, you have to increase your water intake. So I was doing 1 to 2 gallons of water a day, and then and still do. I mean, I still eat like this. I didn't quit. I'm a retired athlete. I didn't quit eating clean. And then on top of that, you know, you have to watch how many carbs you're taking in, when you're taking them in. It's all scheduled for you by your trainer, and you have to follow those instructions to the 9, because if you are inkling off, it shows. It shows. And when it comes down to that day you get on the stage and you're up against anywhere from 25 to 80 other people in your division, if you look good walking down the street, you might not cut mustard in that show, because you're supposed to look like a freak of nature when you get up there, and you have to be absolutely phenomenally conditioned and symmetrical, and you have to be full enough in your muscles, but not too full, because you got to look feminine. And there's just all these different variables that play a part in it when you're a female physique competitor, because I did fitness. It's not physique or bodybuilding. It's very different. So we had a certain borderline look that we had to stick by, because if you were too much on one side or the other, you were going to get knocked down.
Right.
Wow.
Now,
so that's
can I ask
the
you
dieting
a question?
Part of it.
Yeah. Now, what kept you motivated during that process? You know, I know that, like, that's such a rigorous process, you know, and what was your kind of your, was it your family and just kind of the past that kind of kept that drive and that motivation through this process to get to that peak performance that you got to? Or, you know, what was the driving force?
I'll be really, really honest with you. I love performing. I love that stage. I really do. I enjoy it so much. I feel like just so ineffable when I'm there. There's a peace and a serenity that floods me when I'm performing. I'll be really honest. I think through the duration of my career, you had mentioned earlier, was it your past that you were trying to, like, you had something to prove? I think that I've always had something to prove. And my trainer told me that years ago. He said, it's just in you. You can't let go of anything until you prove whatever it is that you set out to prove with it. And, you know, I think for me with my upbringing, I just always thought about every other little girl. Because my mom was, you know, I was like 12 the first time I saw my mom high. And I was 13 when she got really strung out. And I remember that first time of seeing her like that. And I remember crying myself to sleep and being scared and not understanding what all this was happening for. And that night when I went to sleep, I'm going to tear up just thinking about it because it's still so vivid for me. I just remember praying and just saying, God, just help me do something with this that can help people. Because I didn't know why it was happening. I just knew that at that young age, I knew that it was meant to do something. It was meant to be turned into something that would be powerful later. And so I just begged God when I went to sleep that night to give me the strength to turn it into something good and powerful. And when I continued my career, it was at that point when I wanted the notoriety, it was not because I really gave two hoots about being in the spotlight. It was more about there was a 12-year-old girl out there, in fact, thousands of them throughout the country, that one day were going to see me in a magazine or on a television show, or they were going to hear my story. And because of that story, they weren't going to feel like they were hopeless. And I think that's what's in me that drives me every day. I think that's my driving force every day, is that sense of purpose that I think, you know, was put on my heart by my maker. That night, it was just given to me in a clear message and in a vision that that's where my life would go. And no matter how stupid my choices were, and they were for years, that I was going to end up in a space where I had to be doing the right things because it was my purpose. And all of this was happening for that purpose. And I think that's what's kept me motivated all the years, because I can't let go of that idea of all these little girls in the world that are struggling the ways that I did. It's heartbreaking because there's all this talent and love and purity. And for me, I've just been really blessed with this lifestyle and living more fit and feeling more invigorated through my fitness practices that it's just turned into something that people ask me for help with, and I get to help people with it. And that always circling me back to, you know, when I get to go into schools or when I get to go and talk to, there's an organization I volunteer for called New Pathways for Youth. And I'm a graduate of their program. When I was 17, I graduated from their program. And, you know, just get an opportunity to identify with these young girls and boys. And just, you know, they think I'm larger than life because I've been in a magazine. I'm like, oh, God, I have nothing on you. Trust me. What you go through every day and what you choose to survive, you're the star. And that, to me, is really what fitness is all about. It's about exuding something from within yourself, because the more power you have in that regimen, and like you said earlier, it clears your mind and spirit. The more light you have and the more life you can give to others, and that's what life is all about. It's about sharing that life with other people and amplifying their souls and them amplifying your soul. And it's an ever-evolving experience, you know?
Definitely. So, I know it sounds like you're very involved with the youth, and I think youth and with people dealing with similar stuff that you've dealt with, or not, maybe people that aren't dealing with, you know, anything at all, but I think that need to, well, everyone's got issues, but like stuff that like they want to transform their life. What would be some steps that you, maybe you'd recommend to help them kind of take that step in the right direction or get motivated to put, to get their life going in the fitness and fit and healthy eating? You know, what would you maybe recommend that, that might help get that, kickstart that for these, the youth in our, you know, up and coming youth?
You know, honestly, the first thing I tell everybody when they ask me, because I get that question a lot, you wouldn't, I couldn't even count how many times a week people ask me that. Well, what's the one thing you'd recommend? The first thing I tell everybody is drink more water. That's the first thing. Drink more water, because your body is over 70% water. And if you're not drinking enough of it, chances are everything's not operating right, which means your brain's not operating right. If your brain's not optimized and its efficiency, then everything else doesn't perform right either. And then on top of it, if you're not giving everything that hydrated efficiency, then your brain's, you know, not failing, but your brain is slowing it down. It's not able to give your body as much as it normally should. And then on top of it, the hydration, and so the organs aren't functioning appropriately, and circulation is not good. And all those things cause problems with how we feel. And it's really about how we feel that, that, you know, when we're first starting into fitness, everything's about the feeling, like
right.
the physical feeling. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I'm not motivated enough. Oh, I just don't have the energy. But water is the first step in changing that. If you hydrate enough, that that helps everything. And I mean, I love it when I tell people that and I get messages, whether it's email through my website or on Facebook, or, you know, where people are like, oh, you know, I started drinking more water. I feel so much better. I cut out soda. And like when they, I'm not just saying this is what happens scientifically. I'm saying this is what people tell me is happening to them when they do that. So I
yeah.
get this all the time from people, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I've been getting these messages for years on this one thing, and it's the simplest thing. Just
wow.
drink more water. And if you can make a, for every woman, a minimum gallon a day, and for every guy, a gallon and a half to 2 gallons a day, that's the rule of thumb. And, of course,
wow.
there's customizable amounts you can each, we can each have based on what our body compositions are. But those are the two rules of thumb. 1 gallon a day for women, and then 1.5 to 2 gallons for men. You know, that makes the biggest difference. And people say, oh, I have to pee too much. I'm like, well, do you want to feel like crap, or do you want to let
yeah,
it out?
It's flushing all, yeah, it's flushing all the toxins, getting it all out of your body. Yeah.
So,
make you
yeah.
feel better.
So that's the first no. thing, definitely. And the second thing would be to increase your protein, because even if you cut your carbs back and your fats back, or however you want to do that, if you cut your calories back, if you're not taking in enough protein, people fail to realize every single thing in our body is protein. Our cells are comprised of protein. So if you're not taking in enough protein, you're essentially starving your body anyway, whether you're giving it other stuff or not. You have to have your protein, you know, and that should be the staple of everybody's diet, and then to have your water intake high. So, I mean, it all
right.
really works together. The first thing is increasing your hydration. The second thing is increasing protein.
Now, are you a believer in alkaline water, or do you drink alkaline water or no? Or
mm-hmm.
What are your
absolutely.
Thoughts on that?
I think that any water is good for you if as long as it's like reverse osmosis or spring water is great. Distilled water is fine. You know, I think it's all good as long as you're not drinking something that's chemically treated. You know, like city water is like disgusting most of the time.
Yeah.
Depending
yeah, yeah.
on what part of the what region you're in, but you know, so I think that alkaline water absolutely has its benefits, but I do tell people, because I actually go to an alkaline, my friend Maria has her own alkaline store, and she has three different types of, she has alkaline, she has structured alkaline, and then she has reverse osmosis. And I get all three, and people ask me, well, why do you change what kind you get? And I say, because you don't want your water, your body to adapt to only one and then stop being as functional on the others. To keep your body efficient, you know, you have to be changing it up, I think. So I am an avid alkaline water drinker, but I also believe that it's important to switch it up. And so I'll take in the reverse osmosis sometimes, and sometimes I'll take the unmineral treated, which is non-alkaline structured water. And sometimes I'll just drink plain old spring water. You know, if I'm out and I ran out of my water, then I buy, you know, spring water. So.
Perfect.
Does that answer the question?
Yes. Yeah, it does. It did, very much so. And I think let's break for a commercial break here, and we'll be right back on Empowering Radio.
You got it.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MyEmpoweredWorld. And remember to share and help us spread our message of empowerment.
And we are back on Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. Our guest tonight, Nita Marquez. And Nita, let's talk about, we're coming to, only got about four more minutes here. Let's talk a little bit about your books, and you've written some great books, and you've got a blog, and let's learn a little bit about how they can find out more about you. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for introducing my books into the conversation. I actually just released my second book, and it's called The Fitness Turnaround, From Fat Girl to Fit Mom. The second book, which is A Decade of Determination, will be out, and that's From Fit Mom to Fitness Champion. That one will be out by Christmas. It's in editing right now. And those two books are part of a three-part series, a three-book series. And then my first book, I co-authored with a former Marine who got shot in the line of battle because he was basically too fat to get out of the way of the bullet. So he got himself into shape. He met me, and I helped him. And so we wrote a book together. And that first book, that's Fit for Combat. And my second book, The Fitness Turnaround, can both be found on Amazon as well as at my website, nitasworld.com.
Great. Craig, do you have any questions?
Well, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to touch upon something. I think it's a really important message that you delivered tonight, Nita, is your story of overcoming. You know, a lot of people grow up with different levels of adversity, and, you know, sometimes people, you know, pain's pain, it's kind of relative, and but sometimes people kind of tend to make too many excuses as to why they couldn't do this and why they couldn't do that. And I think your story is just so inspiring, and it's such a message for people to take to heart that, you know, regardless of circumstance, you can rise above it and really
turn your
life around. I really commend you for what you've done, and it's a really strong message. And also even the fact that, you know, it's hard enough when there's people out there that you really don't know that are strangers that are kind of giving you challenges and putting you down, but yeah, sometimes your own family and friends can be the biggest challenge, and you're a testament to that, and that's even compounds the aspect of how much you had to overcome. So really commend you for sharing your story and getting so personal with us. It's just stories like that is really what can help strike a chord with people. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored that you guys gave me a platform to share that story on. And I hope that if anybody feels a need to reach out and ask for support, that anybody feels free to just email me through my website or through your website even. Please, I definitely don't want anybody to hesitate to ask any questions. If I can support people through this is great.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Evan, awesome. You want to take us out?
Yep. Nita, thank you for being on the show tonight. And everyone,
of course.
A great evening. Thanks,
thank guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.